Radio is on. An hour of fun, informative hockey talk with Predators PA announcer Paul McCann. Thanks, Paul. Former NHL player and coach Brent Peterson. And third man in Zach McCann. This is Slapshot Radio on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome in to the 13th season premiere of Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app globally. We hope you've had a wonderful holiday season. It's time to drop the puck, doggone it. We're going to be talking to World Juniors with Hockey Renaissance Man, one of our favorite guests and our traditional opening night guest, Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet in Canada, going to be joining us. We're going to give him lots of grief about the World Juniors. We'll review the Predators' offseason moves. We'll look forward to next week's season's opener, all brought to you by Day One sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirits store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville, with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann, brought to you by Lazy Boy. And our co-hosts are former NHL and player Brent Peterson, brought to you by Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. And the host of the Preds Watch Parties, Zach McCann, brought to you by Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Hey, you know what? We have sponsors for the division names. Why not?
I want to be them.
There it is. There it's the Central Division brought to you by Discover. I mean, you know.
That's right.
So, Coach, here we are. 13th season premiere, Slapshot Radio. Your third season with us. We're so glad to have you back. You doing good?
I'm doing okay, yeah. Hanging in there. Good
off season?
Didn't mess with the virus at all.
Good. Just, you didn't get the COVID. That's a good thing.
COVID.
That's
so
a good
I'm
thing.
Just hanging in there, and I stand 6 feet away from everybody and washing my hands and doing all the things you have to do. And so you don't get it when you do the right things, right?
It ain't that hard. That's correct. And, of course, joining us from his undisclosed location, I hear they kicked him out of East Nashville.
And West Nashville.
So I don't know where the heck he's hiding.
He doesn't have too many Nashvilles to go yet.
I don't know where he's hiding, but Zach McCann joining us. Zach, how are you, sir?
I truly don't understand this bit, but I'll keep rolling with it. It's fine on this fantastic December 37th of 2020. I'm glad to join you guys for, you know, I'm just saying the new year doesn't start until hockey season starts. That's the way I'm looking at it from now on.
I think it's the best way to look at it, actually. But you know what? We've got plenty to talk about, and I want to touch on it right now, but I certainly want to save a big chunk of this for our guest who's joining us from Canada in our second segment for Jeff Merrick, because we're going to give him a boatload of grief. Team USA, Zach, last night, talk about playing the absolute perfect game to take down the heavily favored Canadians last night in the World Junior Finals to win gold for the first time in a couple of years. What a heck of a hockey game last night.
That third period defense was an absolute masterclass in defensive hockey. I was so impressed with Team USA's poise. I was reminded of the quote from Mike Tyson that everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And Team USA came out and socked Canada right in the kisser.
You know, you look at it, and Coach, I mean, I was impressed with the third period, but I'm going to tell you, I thought the first period, they came out, they stepped on the gas, and you looked at a Canadian team that kind of looked around and went, wait a minute, these guys are actually going to play hockey? I mean, it seemed like they gave them no respect. You know, they outscored their opponents 4,422-5. Mm-hmm. I mean, and Team USA gave them no respect.
Well, even David Poile was saying yesterday on the podcast I listened to, or a webinar, and mm-hmm. he said that it was the best Canadian team he's ever seen. Their defense was so good, and their goaltending, but Team USA, like you said, they gave no respect. They respected him, but they didn't respect him,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
And they went right after him, and they got the two goals, and then they didn't hang on. They just kept coming at him. And Canada had to play some great hockey just to stay in it because the U.S. were so strong. And all the U.S. kids, I don't know any of these kids. I know they've been drafted. I know the kid from the goaltender who was fabulous last yep. night was been drafted by Florida.
Right.
So it's all good. All the guys have been drafted. They're all first and second rounders, and they're all top players in their countries. But Canada was really looking forward to that. I'm Team Canada guy because I went over there with Team Canada on the
right
with the the championship, the world championships 1 year. So right. I had to declare. You have to declare when you're. I was in the States at the time. I had declared Canada, United States, and I was getting a job for the United with Canada. So
you had to do that.
Had
sure.
to do that. But
wherever the paycheck is,
you
I
know
get
what.
It.
I'm very impressed with the level of play of the U.S. team, and they've been doing it for like 10 years. Years ago, they broke through, and they've been every bit as good as the Canadian team every year since then.
You're really looking, Zach, at the fruition of the investments that have been made in the national team development program.
Right.
I mean, you look at some of the players that have come out of that, and it was rare. I mean, Ryan Suter, everyone talked about, ooh, he's a product of the NDTP. Oh, isn't that great? You know, 20 years ago. And now it's just one of those things that you just look at and go, yeah, it's there. That's what they've done. And, you know, Zach, I'm kind of curious because I want to turn the attention away. I mean, you know, obviously we're going to give Jeff a whole bunch of grief about this in the next segment. But who, out of all the Predators prospects, you had prospects on Team Finland, Canada, a couple on Team Russia. Which one of the Predators prospects impressed you the most?
You know, it was one that I must confess I wasn't too familiar with, but Semyon Shistyakov for Russia was fantastic on that top pair. I thought he was poised. He looked ready than most people. Honestly, I was impressed with all five of the Predators prospects. I thought Phil Tomasino was one of the only players who looked deadly at times last night in the gold medal game.
Agreed.
Igor Afanasyev was absolutely excellent for Russia playing on there, but floating between their second and third line. Yaroslav Askarov showed at times why he was taken so highly. Obviously, a 19-year-old goalie, you have some time to develop. And Juuso Parsonen definitely showed some flashes, especially with an incredible end-to-end goal that he had as a game winner in one game during the play-in round.
So, you know, you look at these kids and you know, you've coached juniors. Brent, you know that these kids are raw. I mean, these are kids that are still developing their game. But you look at some of these players and you see the game they've developed at the age of 18, at the age of 19. The skill development now, it just seems to be light years ahead of where it was 20, 30 years ago.
Especially in the U.S. because junior teams have moved down here and we've got a lot of players. The coaching's better. Coaching's way better than it was 20 years ago.
Right.
Players are all big and strong, and they can skate. I'm 6 foot tall. I was a first rounder by Detroit. I can't skate like these guys that are 6 foot five and go down up and down the wing or big defenseman. And it's just it's good to see that hockey's in a good standing, especially in the States where they've just come through all kinds of strife over the years to put it on, and they've just been really good. They've been very good every year, mm-hmm. and they're going to be good for the future because all the U.S. development team is a great, great situation for somebody to be in.
Well, you're able
the
to...
numbers speak for themselves. Yes. You know, right. I mean, over right. the last 12 seasons, the USA has won 4 championships.
Right,
which was unheard of, going back 20, 30 years, unheard of that the U.S. performs this well at the junior level on a consistent basis.
And they're getting first round picks every year now, yep. and guys like Domi and those guys were all getting, you know, they're all getting first picks, and mm-hmm. They're just doing the job that they have to do and the coaching's better, like I said, and the administrator's better, and they get everything younger, and they get bigger, stronger, faster people. So
right.
it's just it's good to see that the hockey's in that good of business, that good of shape.
You know, well, Coach, one thing I noticed too that you heard a lot, and maybe this is part of the COVID pandemic allowing it, but boy, did you hear a lot of college hockey prospects in this entire tournament as well.
No, that's true. There were a lot of college players that normally you don't
right.
get that in the juniors tournament because they're already tied up with their freshman years at college. But I will tell you the one player I was really, really impressed with. I mean, Tomasino just showed flashes. You know, I mean, and what I liked about Tomasino and Coach, we were talking about this before the show. He's not the biggest guy in the world,
right.
but boy, I tell you what, he plays big. He's strong off the half wall, not afraid to go to the net. I mean, you
shoots
like seeing
well.
That.
He shoots the puck well, and he's not as scared to go in the corners. And I saw him digging and mucking away last night, and he tried his hardest, but things just didn't work out for them.
Sure.
But, you know, he started on the fifth line. He didn't even play. He wasn't even playing in the beginning of the tournament.
Yep.
And then one of the Canadian players got hurt. He's jumped in there, and he just played great, I thought. I thought he was a great player. He looked a little smallish, but
yeah.
He's got fire in him. He's got fire in him.
Got the fire in the belly. There's no question about that. The other one, and I have to talk to Askarov. I mean, you know, okay, he got lit up by Canada. Let's go there. But he didn't, you know, he could have sued some folks for non-support as
right,
well.
Exactly.
But what I was impressed with in watching him is, first off, that octopus style of goaltending. I mean, just, you know, arms akimbo, legs. I mean, it was that athletic.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about it is it was that thing, and you've heard Mitch Korn talk about this. You hear lots of goaltending coaches talk about this. He's not afraid to let the puck hit him.
Right, and he's also big, so it hits him with him not even knowing it when he's screening that. So he's just a big guy,
yeah.
And he's got good skills for a big guy. He's a Pekka Rinne with good skills, and, you know, Pekka's almost a foot taller than Saros.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's tough for Saros when he goes down, but this guy is going to be a player someday. I know we're kind of disappointed we can't get him right away, but he's
that's okay.
It's okay.
He's
only 18 or 19.
Yeah, let's let him.
He'll be 21 when he comes to the Predators. And then
completely.
And then
fine.
You got somebody for 15 years that's going to be a quality goalie. So it's all good.
And Zach,
what impresses me about Askarov is the lateral movement.
Exactly where I was going to go. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, and that's the thing that
he's
look
a big
at
man
there,
too. Doing it.
There are two things with him that I think are already elite and will only get better as his development increases. It's his lateral movement, his ability to go from post to post, and his puck tracking is absolutely unreal. Even when he has 4-5 players in front of him, he still is able to just laser in on that puck, and it takes not just one screen, but several for pucks to get by him.
Oh, no question. So we're just getting it started on the 13th season premiere of Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And you know what? They have been with us since day one of the show. The premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio, Drs. Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. And Zach, you've spent some time over there this week.
I have indeed. I was over there earlier today. I was over there on Monday, and you can tell I sound fantastic right now, even though I had major dental things done today, because they take great care of you. No pain whenever you're dealing with them. Excellent professional staff. Honestly, as someone who has pretty wicked dental anxiety, going there is an absolute breeze.
I tell you what, you got to check them out. Their website's WeBrightonSmiles.com. You can call them for an appointment at 872-772-7762. You know the number, 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Bring me a higher love. Bring me a higher love. Oh, preach. Bring me a higher love. Max on the wheels of steel. Producing us behind the glass tonight. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you, our 13th season premiere. And you know what? It would not be our season premiere. And you know what? We got to give them a sponsor, because everyone has a sponsor tonight. So we're going to introduce to you the Hockey Renaissance Man, brought to you by Tim Hortons. The one and only Jeff Merrick. Jeff, welcome back to Slapshot Radio. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And first of all, let's get this out of the way early. And by the way, Happy New Year to all you three gentlemen, your producer, and your listeners as well. Also, want to congratulate Team USA for not just a great tournament,
great game,
but an outstanding performance.
Yeah.
This is the World Junior Hockey Championships in Edmonton. Like, that really was a command performance. And I always sort of resist putting the accent too hard on the syllable here on what this is going to mean for these players. But, you know, one of the wonderful things about this tournament is that now you can start to see that next wave of player and who's coming next. That's like, you know, almost like a debutante's ball and, okay, who's coming next into the NHL. And I'll tell you what, man, so many of those American athletes really distinguished themselves, and there's just some names we're going to hear for a lot of years around the National Hockey League. So congratulations to USA. I should point out, although it pains me to say it, you go back to the John Carlson goal against Martin Jones.
Yeah.
You know, since then, it's been you know, the majority of times USA tops of the podium. And as a Canadian, we always thought our main rivals were Russians. Not so fast.
So do you honestly think that show of graciousness is going to prevent the abuse that's coming your way? Do you really think that's going to happen?
You know what? I got enough of it on Twitter last night. Don't worry, but I've grown some thick skin for it. as a Canadian, I should be used to Americans beating us at the World Juniors. Happens all the time.
You know what? It is funny because if you think about it, I mean, honestly, this is part of, you know, the World Juniors is part of Canadian culture, right, Coach? I mean, you know, you have Christmas. And, you know, the next day, you know, which weird that started on Christmas this year. It was kind of strange. But normally it starts on Boxing Day. Right. So you have your Christmas and then the hockey starts on Boxing Day.
And it's always usually it's over in other countries. But Canada and the United States host it more than anybody else all the time.
Well, sure. So Jeff, I know you probably had that experience as well growing up in Canada. I mean, you know, it's what you do over the holidays.
It is. You know, I can even recall going back to watching the one, was it 1978, the one that that Gretzky was in.
Oh, man.
And it was like the one of the wonderful things about this tournament is, like, when you look at other international tournaments, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the World Championships, whatever, we basically know all the players. Like, okay, it's this player and that player, they're just wearing their home country jersey, but the names are all familiar, and the way they play is like the familiarity that we have with all the players at these international events. But this is that one event where, you know, unless you're like a really hardcore, you know, draft fan who watches like the U-17s and the Four Nations Challenge and all these types of things, you know, there's still, for this World Junior Hockey Championship, there's still an aura of mystery about it. Like, who are these players? You don't get a chance to watch a lot of these guys, certainly the Europeans. It used to be that way in international hockey. Like, I'm of a vintage where I was just a little bit too young for 1972 in the Summit Series, but 1976 Canada Cup was huge for me. And for a lot of it, it was that 1967 Czechoslovakian team with, you know, the Stastny brothers. I remember my dad telling me about this young guy, Peter Stastny, and he's going to, if he ever comes to the NHL, he's going to be the best player in it. And, you know, he was right up there amongst the top centermen in the 80s. And Vladimir Zorilla, you know, this refrigerator repairman who also an outstanding goaltender, was the inspiration, as we learned many years later, for players like Dominik Hasek. You just didn't know who these guys were until you finally saw them. Well, at the international level, it's a lot of pros that we all know about by now. But the World Junior Championship still has that air of mystery. You don't really know the players, and that, I think, is part of the mystique about the whole thing.
You hear him on Sportsnet in Canada. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Jeff Merrick, with us on Slapshot Radio. Coach?
Hey, Jeff, I was just wondering if, talking about you instead of the World Junior, I just wondered, how is all this COVID and everything change your job, or you're looking at games and that? Do you have a different situation now?
I am. I if you ask my wife, she may give you a different answer. But I really enjoy doing a lot from home right now. Like, I have my home office set up as my studio, so I'll do all radio and podcasts here. The only reason I go to the studio in Toronto at all, and I live about 45 minutes outside of the city, the only reason I go to the studio now is just to do television. And even then, like, we're really distanced away, and there are different people in different rooms, and it's, you know, the Zoom call shot, or for us older folks, it's the Brady Bunch is what it looks like. So honestly, like, I'm home a lot, and I love it because at the end of my shift, you know, Brent, I don't have to go to the parking garage and don't have to spend an hour on the highway. I just open my door and my family's there. I love it, but again, ask my wife, Claire, if she feels the same way. You may get a different answer, gentlemen.
Well, she just tweeted something out saying, get him out of here now. I don't know. But it's Jeff Merrick with us on Slapshot Radio. Zach.
Jeff, sir.
Buddy.
It's time to talk about him. The center of the hockey world. They've added Joe Thornton. They've added TJ Brody. And the Boston Bruins aren't anywhere in sight. Tell me, is this the year for the Leafs?
Depends what you mean by is this the year. Is this the year they make it to the semifinals? There's probably a good chance of that. I mean, if you look around
progress.
the the North Division, or sorry, the Scotia NHL North Division. I've got to get all my branding right before I get back on television. The Scotia NHL North Division, I mean, the Maple Leafs are probably the class of it. After that, who knows? It's a team that is the deepest amongst all the Canadian teams. Certainly does have its issues still. But they went out and made some pretty big acquisitions. I think the pickup of TJ Brody from the Calgary Flames will probably unlock the best of Morgan Rielly, who's scheduled to be his defense partner. You know, he's been saddled with, you know, your Nikita Zaitsevs of the world the last few seasons. So this is probably the best partner he'll ever have. Joe Thornton, interestingly enough, at his advanced age in his early 40s, is finding himself really on the top line with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. Don't know that he'll play entire games in that spot. I don't think anyone expects Joe Thornton to play 20 minutes a night with Austin Matthews. Addressed a little bit of a toughness issue by bringing in Wayne Simmonds and Zach Bogosian. So they know what they need to do. It's a highly skilled team, but this is a situation where it can all be undone, and I know this is true of every team, and I hate to give you the cliched answer, but it can all come unraveled with bad goaltending. Like all of it. It doesn't matter, you know, you can have Mitch Marner winning the Art Ross and Austin Matthews winning the Rocket Richard and Morgan Rielly challenging for the Norris. You guys know this. Coach, you know this. Show me a good goalie and I'll show you a good coach.
That's right.
Everything can be completely undone if you don't get that save. And Craig Freddie Anderson last year was, by his or any other standard, had a very soft season.
So, Jeff, when you start looking ahead to the National Hockey League season, I can only assume that, you know, Canadians are really pretty excited about the Northern Division brought to you by the Scotiabank.
Yes, they are. And you know what? The interesting thing about it is, too, if you even look at it from, like, look, the NHL right now is in the business of trying to get as much money back into the, you know, financial ecosystem as they can.
Absolutely.
And get it in there quickly. I mean, they're in the business now of looking under every cushion for every nickel and every quarter. They're going to find it. Take the empties back. We need to get as much money here in the coffers as possible. And, you know, let's face it. If you talk to players, they'll tell you, you know, the minute their team is eliminated from the playoffs, you know, they want the team that makes the most money to go the farthest because they're concerned about their escrow, which right now is capped at 20%. They're concerned about, you know, the deferrals at 15%. Sure. What's their bottom line going to be like? And one of the ways, you may say, well, it's completely artificial, but here it is. You know, one of the ways to do that in a truncated season is to place some of the high revenue teams, your Torontos and your Montreals, et cetera, put them in one division and try to make as much money as you can, as quick as you can. Like, I don't think this is going to be a long-term thing, although there is some conversation around it. Because, you know, with Seattle coming in, you can have four divisions of eight. It just makes a lot more sense that way. But it is a good idea, one, by way of travel and safety, and two, if you're in the business of bringing in money quick, this is a good way to do it.
No, and it is funny because you're seeing a lot of grousing on social media about the you know, selling the names of the division and stuff like that. But you know,
that's fine.
Big deal, for heaven's sakes. It's time. You know,
it's time to do those kind of things
at this point.
Yeah.
When you don't have, you're not going to have a whole boatload of ticket sales this year. It's just not. It's reality. You're not going to have a boatload of those. I mean, okay, gain a little money by naming the divisions, you know, okay. I don't care if it's the, you know, Ford Motor Company Central Division, whatever.
You should start putting advertising on the players like they do in Europe.
A little NASCAR.
I think that's coming.
Well,
I really do.
It's already on the helmets.
What they've got, they got the stickers on the helmets. A lot of that is a value add for the rinks, right? For the branding of the rinks, like for Maple Leafs, it's Scotia, because you don't have the volume of people going to the rink and you're not referring to it a lot. So that is a sort of top off for those existing sponsors. What I was told, Brent, this is interesting, is they are investigating the idea of putting some type of sponsorship on the jersey, but they don't want to launch that when it's a depressed price. Like right now, you'd be doing it at a loss, but you wouldn't have because you don't have fans in the building right now, it wouldn't have the same impact. So I think they're concerned about what the price point would be, and they don't want to launch something like that until they can have a higher price point. Listen, that may be as early as next season, or it might be two seasons from now.
But it's coming.
But make no mistake about it. You're right. It is coming. So you better, if you don't like it, you can do two things, you know, nothing and like it, because it's coming.
Yeah.
So just get used to it. Just like the branding on the board.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to think back. The first time that I was cognizant of it, as I look back at old games, I think it was a jockey ad, the 1972 Summit Series. It was an ad at Luzhniki Ice Palace, and then all of a sudden we started to see that more in the NHL.
Sure.
And it looked weird to begin with, but now doesn't it seem bizarre when you look at old games to see clean boards?
Yeah, it does. It
that
does
seems
look
like
odd.
A freak.
You're yeah. absolutely right. Well, Jeff, we are up against a break. As always, we could probably spend the whole hour with you, but we'll let you get out of your office and go back to your family. Oh, wait a minute. Claire says, please keep him in there as long as possible. No. Anyway, Jeff.
Talk about the Sabres days and playing with Rick Seeling. Come on, let's go. Keep him in there.
That's right.
He is the Hockey Renaissance Man on Sportsnet in Canada, our good friend Jeff Merrick. Jeff, thank you so much. Happy New Year, my friend. We will certainly be talking to you again this year.
You guys are the best. Thanks for having me as always, and best of luck to everyone this year.
All righty. He's Jeff Merrick, and I do want to talk to you about Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro. Now, let me tell you a bit about Carter. I have gotten to know him as we've worked together with the Predators. And you know what? I've seen how Carter's over 20 years of media and marketing experience have driven his proven success as a real estate agent. Now, you need Carter on your team. Call him today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter Church is your real estate professional. If you're buying or if you're selling, call Carter today. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I think Max is trying to tell us that we had just a little too much eggnog over the holidays. Paul McCann, Zach McCann, Brett Peterson coming at you every Wednesday night. It's the 13th season premiere of Slapshot Radio. And you know what, guys? We have not really gone here, so let's start talking about the offseason of the Nashville Predators. The ads, the takeaways, the give backs. Zach, when you look at all of the acquisitions and the comings and goings, what are you most excited about from the off-season acquisitions that the Predators have made?
Honestly, I'm pretty excited about the return of Mikael Granlund. I think that this is a chance to kind of rewrite history a bit. The Granlund for Fiala trade is looked at as kind of a stain on David Poile's record. And with this is a chance for them to really kind of rekindle and see if he can keep up that hot streak that he was on towards the end of last season.
It was a surprising one, but reasonable dollars on it, no question about that. Coach, as you look at it, what are you looking at?
I think we were ready to let him go, and then he went out there and tried to get big money.
Well, let's face it, he wanted $5.5 million, and that went out there.
He wasn't going to get that, and he had a poor season the year before, and then part of this year, and then when the coaching change was made, of course, he played much better, and so that's what David's banking on, that he can come up. And plus, he's got a lot of depth behind him. If he doesn't play well, a lot of guys are going to be sat down if they don't play well. So they got, because we have the numbers this year. We have lots of forwards, lots of defensemen, and good quality goaltending. So that's what's going to be the main thing. But I like Mikael. I think he's a good, real good guy and a real good player, and he works hard. But he has never gotten anything accomplished. Like, he works so hard to get so little done. But I like a guy that's working hard every night. And pucks start going in sooner or later. He's just a goal
scorer. It's got to break. You're exactly right. It's got to break. I agree with that. Now, you know what's funny? Because my most exciting, I think, is about the role players that have been added to this team.
Right.
I love the Nick Cousins acquisition. I'm very, very pleased with the Eric Halla. You know, and again, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. Nice depth moves that are going to be necessary in a short season like this. But I tell you, the ones that I'm really, really excited about are Matt Benning and Mark Borjavetsky. I am, you know, Zach, those two bring some size, bring some snarl. The third D pair is going to be very, very different this year for the Nashville Predators.
The third defensive pairing for the Nashville Predators for the last few years has been the Achilles heel of this team. They have an excellent top four, and then opponents feast when the third pair is on the ice. That is no longer the case. In fact, you could look at Matt Benning as someone who could slide up into the top four if you have injury issues or performance issues from a Dante Fabbro. I think this defensive unit as a whole, and this isn't even talking about the potential of Yannick Weber returning, or an Alexander Carrier taking the next step, or a Jeremy Davies. I think this unit as a whole is the best defensive unit that we have seen in an entirety from the Nashville Predators in quite some time.
I can't disagree with that. And you know what? There's one other one that I'm actually really, really happy about as well, and that's Brad Richardson. I think, again, another one of those depth players, role players, good in the room, you know, been there, done that kind of player, Coach.
Yeah, and he's a very good leader, like you say, and he just says, guys, come on, we're going this way, and this is the way we're going, and just does it. And I, for me personally, and I'm a coach, so I'm excited about the coaching staff. I think the coaching staff is excellent. They all have their roles, and you know, John Hines, and Todd Richards was a great ad at the end there. He just won the Stanley Cup. He has a ring on his finger now from the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I was shocked when he was able to be available for David to pick him up, and it was great. Todd's a great guy. He's been in our organization before. He started down in Milwaukee, moved his way up, went to be a head coach. He's a head coach experience, eight years in the head coaching experience, so that's great for him and John, and he's got more experience than John does, so they work well together. And then, of course, Dan Hinote, young, aggressive, energetic, fiery guy that played fiery when he did play, and he's just another good add to the team. And then we need our special teams have to be much better this year, and those guys will take over that.
Well, player like Brad Richardson directly addresses that issue. I mean, exactly. That's a guy who is a penalty-killing specialist. His shorthanded work speaks for itself. I mean, that guy was a shorthanded machine. Look no further than what happened to the Nashville Predators in the qualifying round.
Well, exactly. When you look at this, there's some really interesting ads going on. And I feel like some real needs were addressed by this team. But I also look at the interesting piece about this team right now is this is the first team, Nashville Predators team, in probably four seasons walking into a season with almost no expectations.
Yep.
And if there are, there's
and I'm
not
talking about from the outside. Yeah. From the outside.
You're right. We're gonna get rated number 15 in the league or whatever, right in the middle of the pack.
Almost everybody that I've seen from a prediction perspective is predicting this team to miss the playoffs.
Right.
Or
on the bubble. But no, I mean, there's the Predators season preview on The Athletic is just, a little bit brutal. It is brutal. And it's brutally honest in some respects. It's a little over the top in others. But I look at this team and go, you need the Joe Faline to perform.
Right. And you were talking about good at additions. A healthy Victor Arvidsson cannot be overstated.
Absolutely.
And same with Forsberg. He always seems to get hurt once a year too. So they got to get through those injuries. They got to do the things that they need to do. But we have we're going to be rated the top bottom half of the league, I think. And that's okay. We play our best hockey through that. We played our best hockey in 17 when they
number 16 seed, sure.
Yeah, and we had no expectations at all.
Yeah.
So if there are expectations, they're very, very, very minimal compared to what it used to be.
And the interesting piece, and we were talking a little bit about this, and Zach, I think that one of the interesting comparisons you can make is the Washington Capitals from a few years back. They had a great finals run.
Yeah,
they fell off. They didn't lead to, the expectations were not lived up to. Couple of seasons of real disappointing early exits out of the playoffs.
President's Trophy years.
Yeah,
for them
after the president. Yeah. And then they finally put it back together. Now, from my mouth to God's ears on this one, Zach. But I mean, I think the comparison is apt.
You know, it's interesting because Stanley Cup windows are written in hindsight. No one predicted this team to come out of nowhere in 2017 and all of a sudden become a top contender in this league. If you're trying to prognosticate anything that's happening, then good luck, because how many times have the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup in the last 5 years only to finally do it just now? I think the Preds are well positioned to do exactly what the Capitals did, come with the lack of expectations and really show the rest of the league that they are still a force to be reckoned with.
And I think, again, but you know, we talked about the Joffre line, we talked about the defense, we've talked, you know, Pecorine is saying all the right things. He's got a fire in his belly again. But the thing that I look at as well, there's got to be production out of the second line. I mean, you know, I mean, and Matt Duchene.
Who's going to be in the second line?
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to figure Matt Duchene's got to center it.
Right.
I mean, you're paying him too much money. Is Granlund on there? Okay. But this is a line that's going to have to perform as well. I mean, yeah. Duchene got a lot of money. And unfortunately, with a lot of money comes a lot of expectations.
Well, all four of those guys, Johansson.
Yep, yep.
Forsberg.
Absolutely.
They all got their money, and they all underachieved, I think, compared to what
Agreed.
The people that on the other teams that are coming in with their high goal scored guys.
Yep.
They just did less, and they weren't finishing. And that's why I think the number one thing is last year, we did not finish. Every goalie we played seemed to be, we made a superstar out of a lot of goalies last year. Who aren't that good, so we got to be better at that kind of situation.
Zach, 30 you know, seconds.
The interesting thing is I think Matt Duchene is poised to have a much, much better year. He posted one of his lowest shooting percentages of his entire career last year. So you got to think he's going to be better in this one. I feel better about that, and Ellie Tolvanen's my next key. But we can talk about that next segment.
Absolutely. No. Gee, wait a minute. Who had 42 minutes on the over-under before Ellie Tolvanen was mentioned? All right. Hey, I do want to talk to you real quick about our good friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. You know what? You know, Denise was over there just earlier today, fell in love with a chair, has to have it, went ahead and purchased it, is going to go pick it up tomorrow. It's in stock. I can't wait to see the darn thing. This is going to be fun. But you know what? Lazy Boy just surprises at every turn. Like I've said before, I watch every Predators game from the comfort of my Lazy Boy recliner, and it has been one of the best purchases I've ever made. You got to check them out. 3 Middle Tennessee locations, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, Murfreesboro. Go by and see my friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio. We'll be right back to wrap up the 13th season premiere right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. In a world where hockey is coming back. Come on, it's in every movie trailer, you know it is. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Paul McCann, Brett Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you with our normal weekly hour of hockey insanity. You know what? And I'm just going to say it. We need to talk a little bit. I know Zach wanted to get back to Matt Duchene and the shooting percentage for just a second. Let's go ahead and finish that one up, Zach.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to kind of bring some numbers back to that and how last year was an aberration in Matt Duchene's career. Just for reference, the year prior to that, he shot 18%. He cut that in half last year. And we see regression, but not usually to that level. So you have to expect better days are ahead for Matt Duchene. On to the next thing.
All righty. Well, you know what? We do want to talk a little bit. There's obviously with the new NHL season coming up, there's a couple of new things with it. I mean, let's face it. It's a season, in a pandemic. And the addition of something called the taxi squad for the National Hockey League players, for the teams, there's going to be a minimum of 4 players, a maximum of 6. One goalie is required to be on the taxi squad if you're not carrying 3 on the regular roster, and that goalie has to be available for all home and away games if they're on the taxi squad. So in the case right now, you know, assume Rene Saros and Connor Ingram. You know, Connor Ingram, if he's on the taxi squad, he has to be available. So I think our emergency goalie days are probably going to be over for at least this next season. The other thing, you know, the taxi squad can practice with the team. They can join team activities. They can travel with the team, even though that's not required. And however, they can't practice or join activities other than those with the NHL with their NHL team. So in other words, if you're on the taxi squad, you can't play for the AHL team. In this year's case, that's not going to be an issue with the Nashville Predators. If you haven't heard or not, the Milwaukee Admirals have decided, due to the financial and related implications caused by the pandemic, they're going to suspend operations for the 2021 AHL season. They've decided to opt out of it. I think they figured they would lose less money by opting out than trying to do something in there. We hate seeing that. I mean, the relationship the Predators have had with the Milwaukee Admirals has really been awesome.
Tremendous.
To add to what you were saying there and to give a little light, they said the decision was essentially either to play without fans or to actually pay their staff throughout everything. And they chose that paying their staff and everything was more important than playing without fans. And I think they should absolutely be commended for that.
Absolutely. It really is a great choice. Thanks for bringing that out, Zach. They're going to focus on the 21-22 campaign. I know it makes David Poile's job a little bit harder. There's some prospects he wants to try and see if he can get some playing time for. But, you know, getting back into the taxi squad, as a coach, I mean, think about this. You've had the manager hat on. You've had the coach hat on. You've got a six-person taxi squad you can use, a six-player taxi squad. What do you do with it?
Well, I think you got to get the numbers from your team down to where you need to get it. Like, if you have a bunch of forwards and only five defensemen, you certainly got to have more six defensemen.
Right.
You need seven and eight on the taxi squad for sure. And then I think we're going to bring 40 people to camp, or they already started a camp,
right,
and only keep 30. So that's 18. What's that?
You've got seven. You got to keep 29. Yeah.
Yeah, 15 and three goalies is 18 and 12 defensemen. And so you got to take 10 defensemen and put them on your team, and the other two are sitting there waiting in case somebody gets hurt. And it's not all for the money. It's all for the depth of a team. Like if you get hurt or you get COVID, you got to go right to quarantine. Yep. Next guy up has to come play, just like they did in the football. They shut some places down at times, but I don't think you can afford to have too many shutdowns. So you better get that guy out of there.
Yep.
Test him every day. When somebody gets it from the outside or whatever, they next man up, and away you go. You put them out there.
And, Zach, one of the things that you look at on this taxi squad, I mean, the schedule is I think the schedule's kind of brutal in some respects. I mean, you're starting off the season with four games in 6 days, and then you're playing four every week, almost every week. I mean, I think – you know, you look at some of the moves that the Predators have made, it's hard to not imagine a lot of these had the taxi squad in mind.
Yes and no. The wrinkle that you have with the taxi squad and why you would call it taxi squad when COVID cab is right there is beyond me. However, the thing about the taxi squad is that you waiver rules apply to the taxi squad.
That's right.
And that's where things get interesting because you have a lot of one-way contracts. So you could end up seeing someone like a Yakov Trenin, who I think should never be on the taxi squad, end up on the taxi squad. Or actually, no, Trenin's on a one-way, isn't he?
He is.
Oh, then, yeah, hopefully he's not ever, and that makes me happy. But you're going to see people maybe like a Tomasino or a Eli Tolvanen or a Rem Pitlick maybe end up on that taxi squad. And now, I mean, you still have your full 23-man roster, so you can have your subs on that roster, but you're going to try and avoid waivers at all possible because I think this is going to be a year of unprecedented waiver claims when you have experienced players on those wires.
Well, and the other thing you have to keep in mind for this taxi squad, you're going to have to be really careful with this because again, I know they can practice with the NHL team, join team activities, all of that stuff. You want to keep them as part of it, but you also want to keep them safe in case, someone gets exposed and you've got three or four players that all of a sudden are on the sideline, that taxi squad becomes critical.
Well, I think that with 23 on your regular team roster.
Yep, and another six
and
on the taxi.
Six, mm-hmm. You're laughing. You're gonna be able to get through, unless something just is crazy this year. But you're going to be able to get through it. And I don't think you're going to have to put a lot of those guys on waivers. And if they are, it'll be the bottom-end players on waivers before they ever let Tolvanen or Pitlick or those guys. Those guys are the future for us.
Right.
So they'll never. Although they're on, they can be claimed off waivers because they've been there 3 years. Especially Tolvanen, he's ready to be claimed off waivers if we let him go. We'll never let him go because he's going to be a player. But It's going to be interesting to see how what David does and what other general managers do, what coaches do. How coaches might says, I don't want this guy on my team at all. I don't want to ever see him again, and away he's gone or whatever. And then you bring another guy in for the. So you have to pick the taxi squad right away at the beginning of the year, is it a moving target?
It can be a moving target, but again, waivers come into play, all of that kind of thing, but it can be a moving target. And again, the suspension of operations in Milwaukee is a complicating factor in all of this.
Right, because we have six players that I think are going with, I think it's Florida.
Yeah.
Six players there, and they're going to Chicago where the Wolves play.
Right.
And that's what they're going to do for this year, because it's at least our bottom end players that haven't been up here.
To get them the playing time. Sure, absolutely.
Patrick Harper's lighting it up down for the ECHL right now.
Right.
Well, and you look at this team. I mean, you look at it, Zach. I mean, a lot of these guys haven't played since March. They haven't had competitive hockey since March.
And some of them don't have anywhere to go back to because the OHL isn't playing yet.
Exactly.
Quebec League's playing, but the OHL's not. So Tomasino doesn't really have any place to play but here, taxi squad, or nothing at all.
Well, I believe they suspended the rule for the OHL that they have to play there. That this year, the rule only being able to play in juniors has been suspended this year. Okay. So heck of a year for Milwaukee to opt out. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch this turnaround, to watch this come to fruition. It really is, because there's just everything's on the table right now. And there's just something that's telling me right now. The general manager and coach that does the best job with their taxi squad,
totally agree.
I think is going to have a leg up in this 56 game season.
Just like we're going on the playoff run, and you have a black, the black aces,
right?
They use them right. They don't really have to use them, but if you have the injuries that we had in our run,
right?
And Tampa Bay had the injuries. They brought in all kinds of different D-men every other game. I know they had the big guy out there all the time, but. Tampa Bay did a good job, and they came through it all, and they had injuries too.
Yep.
And their captain was out, and they did a good job of everybody stepping up and being the next man up, and that's what you have to do in this league now.
No question about it. So, gentlemen, we've wasted another hour of our lives on
already.
Already. You know what? I mean, I'm excited to get back here. I'm excited to get the NHL going again. Again, I'm encouraged because I've looked at all the COVID protocols that are going in. I mean, we're going to be doing rehearsal games this weekend. It's going to be a little bit different this year. No question about it. It's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be in a different position, which is going to kind of stink. But, yeah, it's okay. At least I'll be there. But but it's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing comes together, and we will be carrying it every week right here on Slapshot Radio at 7 p.m. every Wednesday night right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Zach, Brent, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you guys coming in, and we're back next week at 7 o'clock for Slapshot Radio. We'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. We'd also like to thank Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet for joining us, and also a big thank you to our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with three locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and of course our good friend Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro. Give him a call at 615-429-2044. Hey, when you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and give them a big thank you for their support. For our producer, the Mighty Max, our co-hosts, Brent Peterson and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.